Hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and all that jazz. I'm going to do a wee disclaimer before I start. You might hear birds squeaking and squawking and whatever else in the background because my window's opened. I think I've got different headphones on this week. I don't think these are the ones I normally wear. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My window's opened and I cannot shut it because it's too hot. Not that I'm complaining, I love the heat. I know a lot of people complain about it, so I'm not one of the people, FYI. I love the heat, but I like to breathe as well. And the fact that I'm menopausal does not help matters at all. Another wee disclaimer, and a wee bit of 100% honesty and openness. This episode's going up late this week, but I've got valid reasons, I promise. So, it's my son's birthday tomorrow. So I've been running about like a blue-ass fly, pardon the French, all day, just getting the last wee bits in, because I could only time to do it this morning, because then I had to be back in time for parcels coming. Then I also had to go to the shops to do some shopping. What else did I have to do? Been watching the Pee Diddy trial thing, which I'm kind of going to touch on that today, but not the way that you think I'm going to talk about it, so don't let that put you off. I'm not actually talking about him or his trial as such, or anything to do with any of the charges, nothing like that, but I will kind of use him as a, don't know. Anyway, anybody else been listening to it, watching it, keeping up with it? Like Danielle sitting laughing at me. She phoned me and I was like, I need to phone you back in 2 minutes. They should be coming out with in a couple of minutes for a decision to tell us whether he's getting bail today or not. And then they told us they were going to reconvene in 3 hours, and I thought, well, you've just wasted my whole afternoon. Apart from the fact of anything else, I've been sitting here with my eyes glued to, I don't even know how, I've not got a migraine yet. Something's just failing my house or made a noise, and I don't know where it came from. Now I've got an awful fright. I don't know, I think I've got a ghost or something's came in one of my windows. So yeah, Ailing's, I can hear noises. I think a bird's flew in my house or something. See, when I hear noises in this house, I get absolutely terrified, because if you don't know me personally, I'll let you into a wee secret. We had a bother with mice during lockdown, because obviously they were getting dead brave because there was nobody in the streets. So they were just like wee Gallus Alice walking across the street and coming into people's houses, and they just thought they could live here, and that's not my thing. Like, I'm no into vermin. So now every time I hear a noise in my house, and I'm like, oh no, no, don't, because I start sweating. When I hear noises in my house, I start sweating. My heart starts going 100 miles an hour, and then I start texting and phoning people saying, I can hear a noise, going to come and save me. Save me, save me. So you've just been let out aliens. I don't even know what you would call it. I really don't. So anyhow, how's your week been? I cannot wait for this birthday to be over and done with tomorrow, because I've had stuff sitting all over my living room in boxes for weeks. Did you hear that? I forgot to turn that down. I hope you can still hear me, because I've just turned the volume off. Anyway, so I've had boxes sitting in this living room. Now, again, just if you're a new listener, I live in my living room and I work in my living room. So half my living room's for living in and half my living room's an office. I'm trying to get a new house. Just another FYI for any new listeners that haven't heard me going on about the fact that I have been looking for a new house for nearly a year. Well, not quite, that's an exaggeration. Since December. I mean, I've technically been trying to get a new house for 17 years. Just that since December I've been trying a bit harder. I've actually been putting some effort into it. But this house is not big enough for us anymore. There's three adults, none of us are in a relationship, because two of them are my sons. And I live here, I work here, I do everything here. And I sometimes just feel as if, see, if somebody just locked this door and walked away from this house, nobody would remember that I'm here, because I'm just always in here. They would forget about me. I'm like, hi, does anybody remember me, please? My sons were to move out and never visit me again. Then, I bring a tear to a glass eye. Would anybody remember me? You would need to, because if you listen to the podcast, I'm like, can somebody come and save me? Oh, Aileen's in one of them today, aren't she? Where she's just like being so over dramatic. Wanting a bit of sympathy. I might have some raging hormones, partly because my son's birthday tomorrow and I feel old. It also obviously brings back memories of, I suppose, times when there was... Never mind, I'm not going there. It just reminds you of times gone by. Let's just say that. People that were maybe in your life at one point and aren't anymore. It reminds you of when they were little tiny babies and I don't know about you, but listen, I've said it a million times. I'm just a very maternal person. So then it starts reminding me when they were born and I start, like today, I was saying to my youngest, oh, 26 years ago today, I got took into hospital to have your big brother. And he's like, Jesus, how long were you in the hospital for? Now, I don't know how long he thinks you're actually in labour for. And I don't know how long he thinks you stay in hospital for after having a baby. I mean, I did threaten the nurses after 2 days. No, was it a day? No, 2 days. Yeah, so I was in the Friday, had him on the Saturday. The Sunday I started climbing the walls. Because anybody that doesn't know me won't know this story, but when my son was born, when I was pregnant with my son, we'll start there, my son did not move inside my stomach at all. Like, to the point, I was on monitors every day at the end of my pregnancy because he just lay there, chilling like a villain. And they just had to make sure he was still wanting to be around, you know, he still wanted to come and visit us. I don't want to, like, trigger anybody by saying anything. I'm definitely not making a joke of it, but when I finish the story you'll know why I'm laughing. But then my son was born and he never made a noise for days. Even when he was born, he never made a noise. It was like they were having to need enough slap on my butt to try and get him to make a whimper. And then the first night on the ward after giving birth, and one of the mums, did she give birth the same day as me or the day before? I can't remember. And she says, oh, I never heard your baby cry last night. I went, aye, that's because I didn't, and yours did. Yours kept me waiting, don't it? I was raging. I mean, the nurses even came in at like 4 or 5 in the morning to wake me up, to wake him up for him to be fed. And I'm like, if he wants fed, to wake up. Leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep. I've just gave birth. Then, what happened? So that was a Sunday. And then the Monday, I was getting... I just couldn't do it anymore. I don't like being in hospital. So then I phoned my mum. Now, my mum's a nurse. And I was living with my mum at the time. I mean, my dad was a medic in the army as well. So I had plenty of medical knowledge at home. Although my mum and dad had split up by this point, but that's not the point of the story. My dad was like 5 minutes away. I could have just phoned him. And my mum was off work anyway. So I phoned my mum and I said, oh, can you bring up the car seat and can you bring up my bag with all my stuff in it to all my going home stuff for me and the baby? And she's like, oh, they said you can go home. And I said, aye. I never told me I wasn't getting home. I decided otherwise. So then my mum and dad came up with the car seat in the bag, and the nurse walked in and looked on my bed and seen a car seat, and she's like, where do you think you're going? I said, home. And she's like, but you're not getting out today. I said, but I am. And she's like, but you're not, you've not been discharged. I says, well, I'm going to put it this way, you either discharge me where I'm at home with a nurse anyway, or I climb out that window and I leave my baby here. By the way, I never had any baby blues or anything like that. I just knew that they wouldn't keep my baby without me. Well, they might have, but I thought I'd chance it. I was only 19, give me a break. So I says to her, I'll climb out that window. And my mum starts shouting at me. My dad starts, everybody's shouting at me. I had three people shouting at me at the one time. And I just sat there laughing. They're like, my mum's saying, you told me that... you told me that they said you could go home. I said, I know, because you wouldn't have brought my stuff up otherwise. And my dad's like, your mum phoned me and said that you were coming home. I says, because I am. And the nurse is going, but you're not. And I'm like, but I am. I went on for about 10 minutes. And then she says, I'll need to go and get a paediatrician to look over your baby to see if you can go home. And I says, you do what you need to do. I'm away for a shower. I went for a shower. And this is going to be a bit TMI. So if you've got a dodgy stomach, if you've got a weak stomach, don't listen. But I had a bit of clotting, we'll say that, coming away. But it was massive. I mean, it was literally the size of a newborn baby. My mum still doesn't know this part, by the way, so can you not tell her and Helen, see if you've listened? You didn't hear that, but... So I could hear a cleaner person. Well, I could hear somebody just outside the shower cubicle, and I just said to her, excuse me, what do I do with that? She went, I'll just shower. She didn't realise that I wasn't allowed to go home or anything like that. And she didn't realise, because she was just a cleaner. She didn't know. She doesn't know, does she? She didn't know that I was getting checked because I was losing too much blood and everything else and whatever, right? But we don't tell people that don't need to know. She said, oh, the shower should just take it away. Just she said, oh, it did. I just went out and I got ready and I never told anybody. Till today. Listen, I'm still alive. My baby's still alive. He's 26 now, and I've also had a second child. I had the same problems with that child as well. And the nurses had the same problem with me with that child as well. So if you want to hear that story, when I went in, my mum warned me, you listen to the nurses this time, Aileen. And if they say you have to stay in, you stay in. And I says, no, I won't, mum. She's like, you don't badger the nurses, you don't annoy them, you don't whatever. And I says, of course I won't, mother. Had my fingers crossed probably at the time, but anyway, so the worst thing that they done was they put me in a wee side room, because I've got to be in a room on my own if I have babies and things now, because she's a bleeder. Basically I could bleed to death, if that makes sense. So they had to put me in a side room, and the only side room was right next to the nurses station. Well, that was their first mistake, wasn't it? So I had him about in the Wednesday, had him on the Thursday. My mum came up on the Friday. She left about 7 o'clock on the Friday, and it was time for Aileen to get into action. So I said to the nurse, can I go home? She's like, no. So I waited 5 minutes, then I said, can I go home? She's like, no. I went on for 2 hours, and she went, I'll go and get your papers, just go. Thank you. So then I phoned my mum, and I said, can you send somebody to come and get me? I'm getting home. And she went, I've only left there 2 hours, what have you done? I said, I've never done anything. I said, I've just come in my discharge papers. So I got home about 11:30 that night, by the time somebody came and got me. Get in trouble for that one as well. But listen, it was only a couple of days before Christmas I wasn't staying in. But yeah, so with my first one, so then when I got home that day, my dad went back to work. He left work to come and get us, went back to work. And then my mum was going up to Asda, which is literally a 5-10 minute walk. So I'm like, oh, it's a lovely sunny day, because it was July, obviously, if his birthday's tomorrow. And what happened? So we were walking up to Asda, and do you know how I told you earlier I could have bled to death? Kind of collapsed. And I was shouting, this is why I told you weren't coming up to Asda with me. This is why I told you weren't coming out of hospital. And I'm like, oh, here we go, lecture time. So I just laughed again. I said, I got a seat. Listen, there was a bench in Asda. I was fine. Sat down. And then I thought, how do I get back home? So we're walking home. And one of my wee neighbour next door, well, my mum's neighbour, he was a taxi driver at the time. And they came in to see the baby, and my brother had said, oh, they're away up to Asda. So he's like, the kind soul that he is must have known he nearly died. He came looking for us. and drove us down the road. And my mum's saying to him, I'm glad we met you because she's just collapsed. And I was like, oh, Helen, don't you tell the world. Jesus. Give me a break. 19. So, if you think, how did we go into that story? So I was telling my son this, but obviously I never went into all that detail with him today. He said to me, Jesus, how long were you in hospital for? So I was telling him, and I'd said to him about how I'd put in on the Friday, had him on the Saturday, got out on the Monday. And I think he was kind of gobsmacked that I was in hospital that long. But I said, I don't know what the youngsters think these days childbirth is, but it's clearly not what it actually is. And that was me getting induced. So yes, that's my funny story for today. So it's his birthday tomorrow. Feeling old. I did say to him, you're edging off of close to 30. You're getting closer and closer. And he's decided to say to me, well, you're getting closer to 50. And I thought, really? I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'm hoping 50 is better than 40 because 40's just made my health decline. Hoping 50 makes it incline. So yes, I wait for the birthday to be over with tomorrow. Well, not the birthday to be over with, but for him to get all the presents out my living room and he can do what he wants with them. And then I've got a meeting tomorrow, so I'm hoping I might have something exciting to tell you next week. Nothing to do with the podcast, to do with my therapy business. So if you're in Glasgow, this might be beneficial to you. That's another thing, right? So we always spend each other's birthday together as a family, like me and the two boys. So my birthday and each of their birthdays, the threes are always together. We do something or whatever. But he decided, because his birthday was a Thursday this week, he was going to take the Friday off. And I said, right, okay, that's fine. And it actually worked out better for me because I was getting paid on Friday. Then I had the chance of this meeting tomorrow. I actually was trying to get it for the beginning of this week. But the person the meeting was with, this was Thursday was the first day she could see me. And I says, that's fine, we'll just do it. Before I messaged her back, I sent him a text and said to him, are you definitely off on your birthday? Because I've got a chance of a meeting to do with work, but I'm not going to do it if you're off or whatever. I'll change it to a different day. And he went, no, that's fine, I'm working. I went, right, okay. And he was going to be back shift, which meant he started at 1 o'clock. And hold on, I don't know if there's something at my door. No, my neighbour's dog's pure barking, and they normally barks like that when there's somebody at the door. So what was I saying? Yeah, so he was supposed to be starting at 1 o'clock and then finishing at 10:30, so that was fine. We would spend the morning together, and then I had this meeting in the afternoon. And then he came in, so I sent the woman back an email saying, that's absolutely fine, I can meet you about 2 o'clock if that works out well for you. If not, let me know a better time for you. She came back, agreed to the time. He came in for work that night. Oh, Mum, did I tell you I'm off on my birthday now? I says, I only asked you this morning and you told me no. And he's like, I know, I just decided to take it off. I says, do you want me to change this meeting? He's like, no. I says, okay, glad. Happy for you. I'm so glad you've got your birthday off. So now he's got 2 days off. He's like, I just decided I couldn't be bothered working a full week. Okay. Good do you. So yes, we're doing, he'll open all his presents in the morning, and then I'll go to the meeting. Well, I'll make the lunch, I'll go to the meeting, and then I'll come back and we'll do something for dinner. And that's fine. He doesn't want to go out. I asked him if he wanted to go away for the weekend or something, or do something the weekend. He said no. And I'm like, alrighty then. But then at the weekend, he might decide he wants to do something and change his mind, because as you can see, that's what my son does. He changes his mind at the last minute. And this is one of the reasons why we think he's got ADHD. Not the only reason. There's like 5 million reasons. This boy's definitely got ADHD. And I'm starting to think he gets it from me. But he's definitely worse than me. 100% worse than me. I'm not one of the mums. Well, maybe sometimes. No, I'm all kidding on. I'm not one of the mums that will say, you get that for your dad? Well, I might do that with my youngest sometimes. I can't really say anything bad about any of their dads, to be fair, apart from the fact they're invisible. They're actually, apart from the father party, as humans, they're actually decent people. Just being dads are not very good at, well, one of them isn't very good at the other one. That's a whole other story, which you might find out one day, not today. So, that is my tales of woe for today. I'm sorry if there was a bit of too much information, TMI and all that malarkey in there for you. So I touched on earlier on about the whole P. Diddy thing. Have any of you been watching it? And have you been keeping up on it and whatever else? I have kept, like, I dipped in and out of it when they were doing their investigations and whatever else, and I would kind of keep up with it, but not every day, just as and when it popped up. But the trial, I've been religiously keeping up on it every day. So for anybody that, did I tell you, I'm sure you have all heard, because you would have seen it on social media at least. So you got found guilty on 2 charges today, and not guilty on 3, and obviously one of the ones you get not guilty on was his most serious charge. So that's that, but I'm not here. So one of my things I want to point out is, as part of my job, obviously I can't judge anybody, I wouldn't judge anybody. I'm not going to say it's not in my nature to judge, because I think we do all have it in us to judge people to an extent, especially when it's kind of criminal cases and things like that, which is understandable, especially when it's to do with hurting anybody or anything to do with children or anything like that. I think it's just human nature. You would judge to an extent, or you would have an opinion. But I'm not going to do that today. I think what everybody needs to remember is not just about this case, but about any case. There's family on each side, whether it be the person that's been up on charges. There's family that are potentially, probably innocent, are innocent. There's family members who are hurting. You've also got the other side, where the person that's had whatever done to them or potentially done to them, they're hurting and their family's also hurting. So just always bear that in mind. But the reason I wanted to touch on this case today was to say, if you have been affected by that case or anything similar or anything you've seen in the news, or if anything has happened to you in the past and you are struggling, please speak to somebody about it and please seek help, advice, whatever it may be. Don't ever think that you will be able to just get through life putting it to the back of your mind, because that never ever works. And I know that personally firsthand. I also know it from clients that I've had or do have, that I've locked things away in a box, but eventually it will come out. There'll be something that will trigger that memory, whether you think you've forgot about the memory, whether you don't remember the memory, whether you think that you're putting on a brave face or living your best life forgetting about it, there will be one thing that one day. So you do really need to deal with it as soon as possible, because the longer it festers, the more damage you're doing to yourself, essentially. But that was the only reason I wanted to touch on that. It wasn't anything to do with actually about the case, as I said, or whatever else. But also, if you know somebody that's maybe been hurt by another person or something's happened to them, whether it be a similar situation as that or whether it be something different, I do find, was it yesterday alone? I don't know how many articles I've seen, like news articles on social media, that were all to do with people that had been murdered, attempted murdered, and or innocently passed away, drowned, all these different things. And yeah, that person has either lost their life or been hurt in some way, but so has their family. And we need to remember that it's not just the person that's actually going through the trauma. There may be other family members that are going through it because they feel helpless. They feel as if they didn't do enough, or they haven't done anything, or they don't know what to do, or whatever else. So sometimes, not every case, but sometimes there'll be other people that will need support as well, to so that they can support their family member or friend or whoever it may be. Another person I want to talk about who, if you're in the UK, you've maybe heard of her, potentially heard of her abroad as well, like in America and things like that as well. She's, I've spoke about her before on here. Her name's Rebecca Goodwin. She is, in my opinion, superwoman, an amazing woman, a fantastic woman. Yes, some people don't agree with her career choice. That's fine. That's your opinion. You wouldn't do that. But the reason I want to bring up Rebecca is I don't think any of us have a right to judge somebody's career choice. And I'll tell you for why. None of us know what's going to happen to us in 5 minutes, let alone 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I had a conversation with my mum the other day. I was kind of trying to wind her up, but I was also trying to prove a point as well, as you do, you know. And I was saying, as a mum, I would do anything for my children. I would do anything to keep a roof over their head. I would do anything to put food in their belly. I would do anything for my children. And I mean anything. So if that meant I had to go and sell myself in a street corner, I would do it. If that was the only choice I had, I would 100% do it, because I will do anything to keep a roof over my children's head. And that's similar to how Rebecca started. She wasn't on a street corner, don't get it wrong. So anybody that clips that, I have the full recording. Do not twist my words, please. But Rebecca started out because, well, partly because, so I'll tell you, she's, go and watch her YouTube channel, or go and watch her social media or whatever else, you'll find out her full thing, right? But she kind of started out because her baby dad left her, and the baby, now I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm sure the little one was only a tiny, tiny, tiny baby, maybe weeks old, I don't know, can't remember, and I don't want to give misinformation. But also, Rebecca was sexually abused throughout her childhood, potentially onwards. Again, I don't want to give misinformation about ages it started and finished or whatever else. And most people who have been sexually assaulted, sexually abused, whatever you want to call it, raped, anything like that, anything in that sort of genre of abuse, will to an extent understand. Some people will, some people won't. She sees it as her taking back control. And I 100% understand where she's coming from. Read between the lines. I wasn't a child. I'll just say that. I was a teenager. But of age. Legal age. So, you've got people who have been sexually assaulted or sexually abused or whatever else. Who, and there'll be a couple of different ways people will go. So you've got some people who go down the route of they don't trust anybody to ever have sex again, blah blah blah, and they might wait X amount of time, they might be very wary about who they have sex with or whatever else, they might get scared and might kind of like what some people will call frigid, the rest of us might call terrified. Do you know what I mean? Then you've got the others who will just willingly have sex because that's their way of taking control. I'll give you it before you take it. Her way is, I'll make money from it. And what are you going to do about it? And I nearly swore there. I love that for her. Can I just say? That is her taking her power back. But my point to bringing Rebecca up wasn't actually about where the kind of conversation went. It was about judging others again, as we kind of touched on before. You don't have any right to judge what somebody decides to do as a career, how to bring up the children, how to do, unless obviously they're harming the children, that's different, right? I'm not talking about harming children, I'm talking about just how you bring up your children, where you bring them up, how you dress them, how you feed them, where you house them, whatever the car that you drive or whatever it may be, your everyday non-judgy things, you know. But she's going through a bit of a time just now because she's got, in inverted commas, a neighbour, a troll or whatever, who keeps phoning the police on her, but it's malicious phone calls and it's untrue phone calls. They're phoning the police, they're phoning the social services, they're phoning this, they're phoning that, and it's all because they don't like the job that she works as and they don't want her to live in their area. And she's kind of like, I don't like you either, but just leave me be, let me live my life, like, leave me my children alone, we're not harming anybody, she's not doing all these things on your doorstep, she's not doing them in her house, and even if she was, it's her house, she can do as she pleases, again, obviously within the legal limits, and what she's doing isn't illegal, it's not illegal. She's a very good businesswoman. She has such a amazing business head on her. She's also such a kind-hearted, beautiful person who helps so many people who are less fortunate, we'll put it that way. People in dire needs, people who struggle. When Rebecca made her first, was it when she made her first million, I think it was? Can't remember 100%. Again, if you go back and watch her journey and listen to her story, because obviously she's got her own podcast and things like that as well. But if you go back and you listen to Rebecca's story and you hear, I remember I first heard about her because of this story I'm about to tell you, and not actually because of anything else. She buys houses, or she bought houses to house people who didn't have a roof over their head, didn't have anywhere to live. They were maybe not getting accepted or whatever else through other housing agencies or other housing options. So people that maybe didn't have money and weren't able to put deposits down. Whatever it was, whatever reason she'd done it for, because she had been in that situation before. She had been a single parent with two babies, and no money coming in. Dads weren't handing her over a single penny. They were refusing to work and things like that, or whatever they were refusing to do, or they were refusing to give her the money she was due, or whatever else it might have been. So she decided, well, I can't really go out to work because I've got two tiny babies, I can't afford childcare, and I've got nobody to look after them, and I don't want to leave my tiny babies potentially with somebody that I don't know and trust. I'm presuming, this is just me surmising quickly. So she decided to do a little, let's say a little photo shoot, and it made her some money, and then the more she done it, the more money she made, and then she managed to make multi-million pound business out of it. She now obviously does a bit more than just photos and things like that, but that woman is using her body to her full advantage, and she is taking full control of her sexual experiences, we'll put it like that. She's very careful in what she does. She goes by the rules of the industry. But I just think, as a single mum myself, I think she's amazing. And she's definitely, whether you like her choice, as I said, her career choice or not, is irrelevant. But the fact that she's done anything to keep her roof over, and I mean anything that she had to keep her roof over her kids' heads, put food in their belly, be round about them 24/7 when she could be. She thought outside the box, which anybody that's had any counselling or coaching from me will know that that's one of my things that I always bang on about, you might say, is about thinking outside the box, having somebody look outside the box for you. She done that. That's exactly what she done, and she is now, I'm not going to say living carefree, because nobody's ever going to live carefree. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank. We're all going to have worries and concerns and whatever else. And especially when you've got children, it doesn't matter what age your children are. You're always going to worry about them. I mean, who was it the other day? Somebody the other day was talking about whatever date it was. Say it was Monday, the... What date was it? Monday the 30th? 30th of June. Oh, today's supposed to be the end of the world. And I'm going, oh my God, only one of my children's in this house at the minute. And the other one won't be in at 11 o'clock tonight because he's at work. And what if it is the end of the world? And then my one son's going to die. I don't care about him because I'm not with him. The other son's going to be here worrying about his big brother. And these are the things that you do. I mean, my son lives... takes him 15, 20 minutes to go home from work. And I swear, well, it's more when he comes home late at night or if he's out on his motorbike. See if he's not in the time that he's normally in. I give him like 10, 15 minutes and then I phone him. I'm like, where are you? Are you alright? Is everything okay? Because some of the areas we need to drive by are a bit dodgy as well. Because he's got a nice car and you're always hearing about carjackings and things like that. And I start, my mind works. Then you wonder where he gets his ADHD from. I just don't know. Wasn't me. Anyhow, so... yes, can we please stop judging others? Can we please stop making malicious phone calls to police, social services, whoever, and talking about the whole judging and making malicious phone calls and everything? See on TikTok, I've spoke about this on TikTok, about this. I can hear a million dogs barking. Can you hear that? I hope you can hear them. I've spoke about this situation on TikTok before. And it really grinds my gears. And if you live in Scotland, you'll know what that means. And if you don't live in Scotland, it basically means it really annoys me, it really angers me, it really irritates me. Everybody accuses everybody of being a paedophile. For absolutely no reason, just because they don't like them, they don't talk to them, they fell out with them, whatever it is. They're all calling each other. Like, and by the way, I am not talking about children accusing each other. No, like, I don't know. Kids all went through a phase, and I think, I don't know whether they still do it, but they'll call each other gay for a long time. Well, these are grown adults, so maybe it was the ones that were calling each other gay. They've now moved on to calling each other a paedophile. I don't know what it is, right? But can we stop it? Can we please stop calling each other paedophiles? I mean, nobody said it to me because I don't really talk to anybody on. I need to start going live a bit more with the business pages, not so much my personal page. I've got no reason to on there. But on the business pages, more like the therapy business page and the podcast pages, I kind of need to go on more just to update you and things like that, but I always forget. Listen, I don't even know how, there's 24 hours in this day and sometimes I need 26, 30, 50, sometimes I need to sleep for 50. But yeah, can we just stop this? As grown adults, thinking that we can tell each other our opinions, can we? Unless the person asks for an actual opinion on a certain topic, can we stop giving opinions? Can we stop accusing people of things just because we don't like them? Can we stop? What else? Yeah, like I said, making malicious phone calls with the intent of getting that person into trouble for something they've not even done. Can we just stop? I mean, at this point, if the world did stop due to the way yous are all behaving, I'm here for it. Just purely because I think it's vile. I genuinely think it's vile. I mean, I get if you want to dislike somebody and you want to say, oh my God, I don't like them because of blah, blah, blah. That's your opinion. You don't like them because of that reason. But you don't need them to say, oh my God, I don't like them because... they looked at me the wrong way, so they must be a paedophile. So I'll just tell everybody on the internet that they're a paedophile. Then I'll turn the whole internet against them. And then everybody will come to me and be my friend. Because that's basically what they're trying to do. They want everybody to be their friend. They want everybody to be their follower. They want everybody to be theirs. Because they've now told at them, well, you can't like them because they're a paedophile. But they're not even a paedophile. I'm not laughing at paedophiles here, by the way, and I'm not laughing at you. I just don't know anymore. I genuinely don't know. Obviously, I'm a counsellor. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so I can't diagnose anybody with anything. But I think if I was to get... I think TikTok needs to get a couple of psychologists and psychiatrists in to decide whether... certain people should keep their pages or not. Does anybody agree with me here?
I mean, I don't know if this is just that, and I was going to say I don't know if this is just in the UK, but there's people like, well, I'm saying that, they're talking about people in the UK. Listen, I don't even know anymore. I just think the world's gone mad. I mean, the world going mad would normally be good for me because it would get me some business, but I don't know if I want that kind of business.
Let's get down to business.
I don't know if I want people that are coming and just randomly accusing people of being paedophiles because they don't like them. They don't want to be my friend, so they must be a paedophile. I must tell everybody they're a paedophile. Please don't tell everybody that about people because it actually makes you look a bit sus. So I've seen a few people from the UK who literally accuse everybody, and I said to somebody who I'm kind of friendly with on TikTok, and I said to her, because she was talking about it one day, and I said, but have you not noticed that person is always accusing everybody else? I said, so does that make them look more suspicious because they try to get the heat taken off of them? Maybe they are one. Maybe they're a paedophile. No, this isn't me accusing it. I'm not, I'm not accusing anybody, and I'm not accusing everybody. I'm just trying to point a fact out that how would they like it if somebody started accusing them? And is it because they maybe do like children in a way that they shouldn't like them? But just to take the heat off them or to make sure there's no eyes on them, they think, I'll accuse everybody else and then nobody will see what I'm doing. But then at the same time, no, I've never worked with a paedophile, don't really fancy working with a paedophile, but obviously if I had to, because I can't judge anybody, read between the lines there. I don't know that I could. I genuinely don't know. I think you need to take it case by case. I know a friend who works in the prisons helping people rehabilitate like drugs and things. I don't mean paedophilia, I mean drugs. But she was having to work, I don't know how many times she had to work, but like I think it's group sessions. I'm not 100% sure. She's supposed to be on the podcast, but as I keep telling you, I keep forgetting to phone this person. So one day she will be on the podcast when I remember and I get time to actually phone her. But she works in the prisons helping people rehabilitate from drug abuse and things like that. And at one point there was one of the prisons she was working in, there were some paedophiles that had addiction and whatever else, and they were maybe sitting in their sessions or whatever to do with rehabilitating from drug abuse. And she had to say, because she's a mum as well, and it wasn't, I mean, it is about judging them, but it is about judging them in a sense, but also it's about prioritising your mental health, because you're, after you finish work, we all like to think we would leave work at the door and whatever else, but we don't, and especially in our kind of job, because some of it does affect you a bit more than others. So she did have to say to her boss or her line manager, whatever it was, or somebody in the prison, listen, I'm a mum, I can't be working with them, I can't do it, it's physically making me ill because I've got children and I just think children should be protected, which people that aren't interested in children and the way that they're interested in children do think. That's the way we think children should be protected. But then at the same time, now again, I've never worked with anybody that's been convicted of paedophilia or anything like that, so I don't know. I'm just, again, surmising from things that I've heard through work or whatever else. I think not just people that like children, people that hurt anybody in any way, whether it be physically, mentally, sexually, whatever, most of them do have a mindset where they don't think they've done anything wrong. They never done it. It wasn't me. I'm a nice person. So I don't know if they maybe think that way as well. So they maybe think that I never done anything. Or if it's just a defence mechanism, or if they would put like a barrier up so that that's one personality they've got and they don't think of that. I don't know, because I'm not in that head and I couldn't be in that kind of headspace. It's not the way my mind works. So I don't know where we got into this. See what I mean? Then I say every week, don't I? But yes, that's what it was that we were talking about TikTok, wasn't it? So can we please stop accusing people? Because you've got to remember that false accusations, all it takes is for one person to believe it, and that can ruin somebody's life. What, just for a laugh? Just because you don't like somebody? I don't think that's nice. It's not nice. You wouldn't like if it was done to you. So the way I live my life, the way I try to live my life, obviously none of us are perfect. None of us can say that we have never done anything wrong, because that's not plausible. Like, none of us can not do anything wrong in a whole lifetime. But I try to live my life in the way that I treat people how I would like to be treated. But obviously there's a but there. At the same time, I'll treat you the way you treat me. Do you know what I mean? So if you be see you next Tuesday to me, and if you don't know what that means, right in, I'll tell you. But I'm sure most people do know what it means, but maybe outside the UK you might not. I don't know if it's just a UK saying. I'll cut you off in a minute. That's my coping mechanism. I don't like people that round about me or round about my boys. And again, it's not because we're perfect. Far from it. We all have a past. We all do silly things when we're younger or whatever else. But especially because of the job I'm in, and I hear different stories from whatever else, and I'm very much an empath. There's a fly coming for me. I try my best to be a nice person, and that's kind of why now I would rather cut you off than retaliate. Although, watch this space. There's certain types of retaliation that doesn't look like retaliation. Mind, I told you the book coming out. I never said that about coming out. That's an absolute lie.
I just took that joke too far.
I said I would go write a book. That could be my retaliation. Anyway, I'm not telling you anymore about that.
So, this week I just wanted to touch on the whole don't judge people, don't accuse people. Just listen. I think we should go back to, was it the 70s, where it was all flower power and happy vibes and everybody loved each other? Can we go back to that? Because I think I would quite like to live that kind of life. I don't want to be drugged up and sexed up. Well, sexed up maybe. I don't want to be drugged up. I've lived that life. I'm past that stage. Unless it eases my hips a bit. And my elbows. What else is sore now? Oh, my back. My hot flushes. Can we get rid of my hot flushes? Listen, can we just go back to the 70s? Was it the 70s, wasn't it? Flower power and all that malarkey, and they were all kicking about with their VW camper vans with all their flowers and their butterflies and everything on it. Can we go back to that, please? I beg of you. We'll all just be absolutely stoned out our nuts and we'll be having sex with each other. Maybe we shouldn't. Because then in the 80s there was a lot of HIV and AIDS going about. Maybe that stemmed for the 70s. Maybe we'll know. Well, actually, we could love each other in a caring way. It doesn't need to be in a sexual... Listen. Right, so now that I've gone into that topic... Oh, wait, I tell you what I did, my mum. So obviously we were talking about Rebecca Goodwin earlier on, right? How did I start this conversation with my mum? Do you know, every time I tell this story, because I only done it the other day, my mum is so easy to wind up, right? And by the way, just in case you've not noticed, this week isn't a in-depth conversation. It's just a bit of this and a bit of that. All because it's my son's birthday tomorrow and I don't want to have anything negative hanging over me. I don't want to be in, because sometimes I can do a podcast and if it's quite a heavy topic, it can affect me for a few days. I get it as well sometimes if I've got a client and something they're going through is quite heavy, then I come home and I'll literally fall asleep right away and then I can cry for days for them. But anyway, right, so we're getting off topic and then I'll forget what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to think how we got onto this. Alright, so again, if you don't like talking about women's monthlies, you might want to switch off for just 2 seconds to say this one wee bit, right? So I've got the Mirena coil, partly for contraception, but I don't even have sex, right? Not by choice, but by choice. Make that make sense. So, just in case, because I've been warned by my oldest, I'm not allowed to fall pregnant again. Jesus, it wasn't having a dad. I'm kidding. I'm too old to be having babies. That's enough of that nonsense. But also, partly, to help me with the menopause, because apparently it helps you get through the menopause a bit easier and whatever else, right? So that's fine. Now, I have had the coil as a contraception since my youngest was born. So I've had it for 18 years. 18 years past in March. I've been, not the same one, by the way, because you get it changed every so often. But, because I think it would be, what do you call that, rusty by now. So, I've not had a natural period for 13 years, because the only reason I had it in 2012 is because I had it took out for six months while I was waiting for an operation. So that was fine. Last week, I took a period. Who does that? Who does that to me? And I'm one of the ones that I think I'm so smug as well. And every time one of my pals say to me, oh my God, it's my time of the month. And I'm like, I don't get them. Oh, what, that was karma coming back for me, wasn't it? So anyway, I phoned my mum because I did panic, because I have been tested for cervical cancer and things like that a couple of times in the past, and I've had a few other health issues recently, so it's kind of like, oh, but if that's all linked in, and it can be linked in, and blah blah blah, and then my mind starts working overtime, and I've already got myself dead and buried, and I'm like, who's got to watch my wounds? So anyhow, so I phoned my mum, she's like, you'll be fine. I thought, I'm not listening to you, because no, I'm just not even listening to you. So I phoned and made a doctor's appointment, so that was fine. And then the next day, I thought, I was in one of the wind up moods. I just wanted to wind her up, because listen, it's great fun and it's so easy. So I phoned her on the Friday and I says, Helen, I'm just thinking. She went, what? I says, I think that was actually quite rude that I had a period the other day. She says, do you? Alien eye, and I says, I, because I've not had sex for so, so long, and what if that was that one day I decided to have sex and I was bleeding? And you could just hear her going, oh, here she goes. So then, oh, by the way, I think I'm hilarious as well, in case you've not noticed. She's like, ah, well, not as long as me. I says, but Helen, that was your choice. This is, like, I want to have sex just because you don't. She's like, really, Ellen? She says, do you forget? I can't move, because obviously she likes to remind you she had X amount of strokes last year. And I said, and what about it? I says, nobody's telling you you have to, like, move about. Just lie there like a sack of toddies and take it. I says, as long as it's pleasurable. And she went, oh, you're so romantic, aren't you? Because she keeps saying that I should be a boy. And I said, listen, Helen, sex doesn't need to be romantic, it just needs to be enjoyable. And she's like, I'm not talking about this, I'm not dealing with you. So then I said to her, what did I say after that? I says, you could just go out and have sex with anybody. I don't live my life like that, because she's very much don't have sex before marriage. Unfortunately for her, her daughter had 2 kids outside marriage with 2 different guys. So that backfired on her bringing me up that way, didn't it? And then I said, but maybe that's where you're going wrong, Helen. I said, because maybe you would enjoy it. Maybe you'd actually quite like it. Just go out one day, have sex with one guy, go out the next day, have sex with somebody else. I says, in fact, you know what? I think I've got to sell myself. I think I've got to sell sex. I said, because then I'm killing 2 birds with 1 stone, isn't it? I said, because I'm going to get paid for it, and I'm going to get the actual sex, and I might actually enjoy it sometimes. Don't you dare. And I was like, but I knew this was going to be a reaction. This is why I done it. And I've got tears streaming down my face by this point laughing. And I'm saying, but why not, Helen? Why shouldn't I? don't you dare do that. I never brought you up that way. And I was like, really? Do you think? She's like, you know I never. I says, actually, that's a good idea. I says, don't you want to know what, Helen? I says, I would do anything to keep a roof over my boys' heads. I said, so I'm actually thinking that I've just come up with a pure brainwave, so I've got to look into that. I'm going to start having sex and getting paid for it. So then, just to wind her up even more, I shouted my youngest in. Now, my two boys are really good. They know when I'm noising my mum up, and they noise her up as well. So wind her up, whatever you would call it. So when we all get each other in on it, and we all go along with the story, so I shouted my youngest in, and I went, oh my God, do you want to know what your grand just said to me? He went, what? I said, she's just told me I should be a prostitute. Do you keep a roof over your head? And he went, oh, that's gross. And my mum, she's shouting down my ear, I never said that. I never said, tell him. And I says, oh, I can't hear you. He's way back in. Put me on loudspeaker. And I says, oh, no, I can't. He's way back in his room. I can't hear you anyway. And she's screaming, shouting. She's going, I'm going to phone him. He doesn't answer his phone, it's always on silent. I said, well, he's not going to answer the phone to you. She went, well, I'll text him. I went, no, you won't. I'll take his phone off and I'll pay for it. So then she says, oh, I'm not talking to you. And hung up on me. I'm not talking to you anymore. So then she phoned me the next day to take her to the shops. And I said, oh, Helen, I thought you were talking to me. And it took her a minute to remember what she wasn't talking to me first. She went, oh, aye, but do you want to come and get me too? And I was like, maybe. Anyway, on that note, leave yous with that wee funny story. But I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their week. Please don't judge. What's that thing on TikTok? Since we were talking about TikTok, we listen and we don't judge. Just don't judge, please. And enjoy your week, enjoy your weekend, enjoy everything. If anybody would like to book in for any kind of therapy, whether it be counselling or coaching, obviously I offer wellness coaching, business coaching and life coaching. If you're within Glasgow or the surrounding areas, I offer some hands-on holistic therapies, which are Indian head massage, hot stone massage, cupping massage therapy, hoppy ear candling, and I am about to add in manual lymphatic drainage. So that will be coming in the next few weeks. I've not got an exact date for that yet, but as soon as I do, I'm reckoning it's going to be at the very latest, it's going to be the first week in August. But I'm on track for maybe starting sooner, but I don't want to guarantee that. So I will get back to you with an exact date. And yes, I think that's everything I need to tell you. If anybody does want to, sponsor or advertise on the podcast, you can write into me. If anybody would like to subscribe on TikTok or what's the other one, Patreon, because I do have a Patreon, I keep forgetting to tell you about that. Anybody that subscribes on Patreon or on TikTok do automatically get 20% off any appointment. And I think that's all I need to tell you for now. But yes, take care, enjoy. If anybody's going on holiday, stay safe. If you are out in the sun, stay safe, get that cream on, and I will speak to you all soon. Bye bye.